From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You will get more information about Indonesia. We have the news, we have the Indonesian wonder, and many more. And today I'm Stephen as well, will be in here with you in the edition of December the 5th, 2019. Well then, we would like to begin with the news, so stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo signs government law on trade through electronic system. Hannover Messe reveals the reasons why Indonesia elected as partner country 2020. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has signed the government law number 80/2019 on trade through electronic system more recently. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the rationale behind this government law, as cited from the Cabinet Secretariat official website setcap.go.id in Jakarta on Wednesday, is to materialize provisions of Article 66 of Law Number 7/2014 on trade. According to the Article 1, Paragraph 2 of the law trading through the electronic system, hereinafter abbreviated as PMSE, is trade for which transactions are conducted through a series of electronic devices and procedures. The law stipulates that, in conducting PMSE, the parties must focus on the principles of good faith, prudence, transparency, trustworthiness, accountability, balance, fairness, and fitness. In accordance with the law, business actors, consumers, individuals, and state implementing agencies can conduct such trade practices as per the statutory provisions. Hannover Messe is the place where Industry 4.0 was established and a home to industry pioneers, which has succeeded to be a forum for 500 world industrial markets in 2019. Every year, Hannover Messe chooses one country to become a partner country. Indonesia has been chosen to be a partner country in 2020. After attending press conference at the GXO Kemayoran Commercial Building in Jakarta on Wednesday, Hannover Messe's Senior Vice President Arno Rey explained the reasons why Indonesia becomes a partner country in 2020.
Well, the main reason is that we believe that Indonesia has a strong potential, not only because it's the most people in the world in this country, but we can see is that, like I said, make Indonesia 4.0. There's a strong will, there's a strong effort to be one of the top 10 economics in the world. And with a growing industry, with a growing market, and that's a perfect fit for Hannover Messe as an important industrial fair, to have a growing market who is willing to join new technology, who is willing to invest in the market, who is willing to invest in the people, what is very important. The people are so important for all of the industry worldwide. And Indonesia does all these things, and that makes it perfect as a partner country for Hannover Messe.
Moreover, Arno Rey also explained that Hannover Messe is a forum for world industry and business contacts, which provides 6,000 companies that exhibit the latest technology and solutions to digitalize markets, logistics, and energy systems. Hannover Messe appreciated Indonesia that takes the opportunity to inform the industrial sector of what Indonesia has. Biomass is a potential renewable resource to produce energy and bioproducts in Indonesia. Through appropriate conversion technology, biomass can be converted into bioethanol products that can replace gasoline. It was stated by researcher of Research Center for Biomaterials, Indonesian Institute of Sciences, or LIPI, Awis Hermiati, during the inauguration of research professors at the LIPI Auditorium in Jakarta on Wednesday. The major challenges faced in the application of biomass conversion technology to produce bioethanol and bioproducts are readiness of technology at the commercial and economic scale of the products produced. Therefore, the development of biomass conversion technology to be bioethanol and bioproducts needs to be done continuously in order to obtain technology that can produce economic products and it can compete with commercial products from fossil. Synergy between research institutions, universities and related ministries and industries in research and development activities of biomass conversion that needs to be strengthened. Moreover, Awis Hermiati also explained that the technology also contributes in the effort of applying the concept of biological refineries to produce more economical bioethanol and bioproducts as a substitute for refined fuel oil and product from fossil. The successful development of the technology also supports the Indonesian government's efforts to meet the target of 23% use of renewable energy by 2025. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry held a reception agenda to celebrate the U.S. 10th Peace Corps program in Jakarta on Wednesday. It was attended by Director of Peace Corps Program, Jody Olsen. On the sidelines of the agenda, Jody Olsen to Voice of Indonesia hopes that, besides education sector, he understands the other fields to cooperate with Indonesia, which has been done for 10 years.
What's very important is that we continue the really strong English program. And then second, as we work with the working group that have worked so hard, we will discuss with them what other possibilities might be. And right now we're not sure, but it might be in agriculture, it might be in economic development. But what I'm excited about as Peace Corps expands here, and the working group has asked us to expand, we get to work with them hand in glove in looking at what is the best way to go. And so we should know very soon. The important message that I take back is that one of friendship, that one of being an extended family, and the message that you are so strong, the government is so strong in the support of Peace Corps. And so part of our message is we want to be so strong in support of the programs in Indonesia. And that we want to take back the gifts of that friendship understanding that you have here that I want more and more and more Americans to see and feel.
Meanwhile, Director of America One of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Zelda Kartika, mentioned that the ministry will explore well the expansion of Peace Corps program in a bid to improve human resources not only through English lesson but also other fields in Indonesia. The Indonesian government is targeting to export premium rice of 100,000 to 500,000 tons in 2020. It was said by the Minister of Agriculture, Syahrul Yasin Limpo, at the President's office in Jakarta on Wednesday. As quoted by Antara, the government will prepare the need to support rice export in January 2020 so that in March or April, shipments can be made. The government will explore the needs and demands of the rice export market. Minister Syahrul added that the government would fulfill the requirements requested by the destination country, including organic rice. Therefore, he hopes Indonesia's trade diplomacy is aggressively pursuing a strategy for export. To compete with other countries' products, the government will adjust the cost of rice production and adjust logistics and distributors. He also hoped that private entrepreneurs could take a major role in increasing the value of Indonesia's rice export. A total of 23 travel agents from Aceh and 50 travel agents from Kuala Lumpur held a business meeting in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on Wednesday. In business matching Aceh-Malaysia Tourism 2019 to sell Aceh's potential in Kuala Lumpur and Selangor State. The event was organized by the Aceh Culture and Tourism Office in collaboration with the Selangor Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel. As written by Antara, head of the Tourism and Institutional Business Development Division of the Aceh Culture and Tourism Office, Ismail explained that tourist arrivals to Aceh in 2018 reached 2.4 million. Foreign tourists were dominated from Malaysia and China. Consumer Price Index, or CPI, inflation remained low and under control in November 2019 as it was recorded at a low rate of 0.14% in November 2019, supported by lower core inflation and stable inflationary pressure and administered prices. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Director of Bank Indonesia's Communication Department, Junanto Herdiawan, in his statement on Wednesday explained that, consequently, CPI inflation as of November 2019 reached 2.37% or 3% annually, down from 3.13% in October 2019. Bank Indonesia has consistently maintained price stability and strengthened policy coordination with the central and regional governments to make sure inflation be maintained within a target corridor. Therefore, Bank Indonesia projects low CPI inflation for 2019 at around 3.1%, while maintaining CPI inflation within the target range of 3.0% until 1% in 2020. Well, listener, that's the news read by Ahmad Faisal.
Well, listener, here's today's commentary titled Millennial Farmers, the Agent of Change for Agriculture. Millennial generation seems to be less interested in agriculture. This is one of the biggest challenges in agricultural development in Indonesia as an agrarian country. If this continues, in the future, Indonesia will lack of farmers. Being less interested for millennial generation in farming in the long run will make it difficult for domestic agricultural sector to develop both in quality and quantity. To anticipate this problem of the lack of farmers in the future, the Indonesian government, through Ministry of Agriculture, launched Millennial Farmers Movement, which was carried out since early 2019 and have been promoted in various regions in Indonesia. Actually, the definition of millennial farmers, according to the Ministry of Agriculture, is young farmers with age between 19 to 39 years old, or farmers who are not in that age but still having millennial spirit, being responsive to digital technology and to agricultural equipments and machinery. Through Millennial Farmers Movement, millennial farmers are considered capable of improving the nation's economy. They are considered to have an adaptive spirit in understanding digital technology, making it easy to identify and verify technology. To realize this Millennial Farmers Movement, the government recruits millennial youths to be given training or technical guidance, especially in the application of modern farming, so that it is more advanced, creative, and innovative. The movement to create millennial farmers by the Ministry of Agriculture is very relevant to be applied because they are very adaptive in understanding digital technology, supporting the transformation of agriculture from traditional patterns to a modern agriculture that is being promoted in Indonesia. Modern farming patterns practiced by millennial farmers can increase production and added value. After about 1 year running, the Millennial Farmers Movement begins to bring about results in several areas, one of which is Central Java, which is able to increase its agricultural production from 9.8 million tons into 9.11 million tons. In addition to increasing production, modern agricultural patterns practiced by the millennial farmers contribute to increasing the value of exports of various agricultural commodities in Central Java to a number of destination countries. The results of the millennial farmers' movement are clear evidence that only by applying modern farming patterns, Indonesian farmers are able to realize Indonesia as the world food barn in 2045 and the challenges of the Industrial Revolution 4.0 in all fields. The millennial farmers' movement needs support from the central regions, especially the villages. Support from the villages can be provided by expanding wide access of land, which is one of the biggest problems in agriculture. Village-owned enterprises must be able to become a bridge to attract the young people by opening access to capital and markets. And listener, that was today's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on December 5, 1954 about Armada Day. History of Armada Day began in the early period of Indonesian Independence War. At the time, the power of Armada was still wooden boats equipped with simple weapons. In its duty to defend the independence, Armada of Republic of Indonesia had fulfilled all power elements such as ship, submarine, aviation, landing troops, and headquarters. Therefore, December 5, 1954 was inaugurated as the establishment of Armada Command at Ujung Surabaya Dock by Head of Navy Staff, Admiral R.A. Martadinata. The date was inaugurated as Armada Command Day and then called as Armada Day. Next event was in 1958 on Batan Day. Development and utilization activities of nuclear technology in Indonesia began from the formation of State Committee for Radioactive in 1954. The committee had a duty to investigate the possible existence of the radioactive debris from nuclear weapon tests in the Pacific Ocean. By paying attention to the development of utilization of atomic power for people's welfare on December 5, 1958, the government established Atomic Power Council, an atomic power agency, which was then changed to be National Atomic Power Agency or BATAN based on Law No. 31/1964 on basic provisions of atomic power. Thus, December 5th, which is historical date for development nuclear technology in Indonesia, was set as Batan Day. The last event was in 1985, on International Volunteer Day. United Nations, through Resolution 40/212 on December 17, 1985, determined December 5 as International Volunteer Day. The day is special to honor organizations, communities, and individuals which consistency give the real social and individuals which consistently give the real social and economic contribution for society and surrounding areas. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
berhenti, berhenti untuk mencintaimu. Telah ku coba untuk bertahan, aku semakin terluka. Sebenarnya ku tak ingin berpisah, namun hati tak bisa menerima. Terlalu dalam kau lukai hatiku, tak sanggup lagi bertahan. Cinta setia, meski mencoba untuk bertahan, aku semakin terluka. Sebenarnya ku tak ingin berpisah, namun hati tak bisa menerima. Terlalu dalam kau lukai hatiku, tak sanggup lagi bertahan. Cinta aku menyerah. Terus dan terus melukai benarnya. Ku tak ingin berpisah, namun hati tak bisa menerima. Terlalu dalam kau lukai hatiku, tak sanggup lagi bertahan. Tak sanggup lagi.
You are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next one, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled, Indonesia Committed to Handling Solid Waste at Sea. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar stated Indonesia's commitment in handling solid waste at sea by 70% by 2025. The commitment was conveyed by Minister Siti Nurbaya before 26 ambassadors, including 10 ambassadors of ASEAN member countries and 16 ambassadors of ASEAN partners countries, who participated in the ASEAN Coastal Cleanup 2019 event at the Mangrove Natural Park Angke Kapuk, Jakarta, last Saturday. Minister Siti Nurbaya said that Indonesia realized the challenges ahead would be even greater. Only through cooperation and collaboration, these important problems can be overcome. Siti Nurbaya asserted that the Indonesian government has taken strategic steps in handling solid waste at sea, especially plastic, and has implemented the UN Agenda in 2030 for sustainable development. These commitments include reducing solid waste at sea by 70% by 2025. He said in the initial steps of this commitment, President Joko Widodo had issued a presidential decree on the national policy and waste management strategy in 2017. President Joko Widodo had also issued a presidential decree number 83, year 2018, which discusses the strategic action plan to deal with marine waste from 2018 to 2025. Siti Nurbaya also said, Indonesia had prepared a national action plan to reduce plastic waste through various activities in collaboration with all stakeholders, including local governments, businesses, communities who had taken the initiative and innovation in combating this issue. Besides strengthening at home through the collaboration of all parties, Indonesian government also actively involved in overcoming sea pollution within the framework of international cooperation. To ensure all of these commitments, Indonesia has established a regional capacity center for clean seas, or RC3S, in Bali. The center will strengthen capacity building in the field of marine environmental protection from land-based activities. Meanwhile, ASEAN Secretary General Dato Lim Jok Hoi, who was also present at the ASEAN Coastal Cleanup 2019, appreciated the Indonesian government in terms of waste management and also appreciated the seriousness of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry in involving young people and the community to care for the environment. That was today's My Indonesia.
Oh,
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Thank you very much for listeners who are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. After getting the hard news, why don't we go into some parts of Indonesia to find out our travel or tourism destinations or some kind of culture that you might want to know. Next one, Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, I invite you to visit Tiga Lewi Tourism Object in Bogor, West Java. The visitors who have planned to visit Bogor, West Java, which is located near from Jakarta, there are many kinds of water tourism objects, such as water booms. One of them is Tiga Lewi Tourism Object. Lewi in Sundanese language means lubuk or the deepest part of river. In accordance with its name, this tourism object has three lewi, namely Lewi Cepet, Lewi Liuk, and Lewi Balium. Water streaming at the three lewi tends to calm and not flowing. You can enjoy free diving or just playing water. Tiga Lewi Tourism Object is located at Babakan Madang District, Bogor Regency, West Java Province. Before entering the tourism object, you have to pass through the main gate of Curug Barong or Curug Lewi Hejo tourism object and pay entrance ticket of 15,000 rupiah per person. And if you want to visit Lewi Cepet and Lewi Liuk, you must trekking or going down the path first for around 30 minutes. Along the trekking trip to Lewi Cepet and Lewi Liuk, you will be presented beautiful nature. After trekking for 30 minutes, you will arrive at Lewi Cepet and find the entrance post of Lewi Cepet and Lewi Liuk Natural Tourism Park. Then you must pay again 10,000 rupiah per person. When you walk around Tiga Lewi Complex, you will see typical natural scenery such as big stone surrounding site and heavy stream water of Cilengsi River. The river has 2 meters depth and 15 meters long. Here, you can be satisfied to play water. If you are not satisfied to play at Lewi Cepet, you can go to Lewi Liuk. I also suggest you to visit Lewi Balium. You have to find a ticket post again and must pay 10,000 rupiah. Lewi Balium consists of 2 places, namely Lewi Balium Bawah and Lewi Balium Atas. You can enjoy the cold water at Lewi Balium Bawah and feel fresh and comfortable. After that, you can continue to visit Lewi Balium Atas connecting bridge, which is made of bamboo. Lewi Balium Atas has more beautiful and desolate than others. listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Tigalowi Tourism Object in Bogor, West Java. Thank you for listening.
Tiada kata yang dapat ku ucap saat kau pergi. Ku hanya diam menatap langkahmu meninggalkan kita. Karena ku tahu pasti ada tantangan yang berat di setiap perjalanan yang hebat. Takkan berakhir di sini, semuanya akan jadi lebih baik. Walau kita tidak lagi berlari bersama lagi, tetapi doaku ini selalu untukmu. Sampai suatu hari nanti kita akan bersama lagi, berbagi cerita terbaik dari hidup ini. Hanya diam menatap langkahmu meninggalkan kita. Pasti ada tantangan yang berat di setiap perjalanan yang hebat. Takkan berakhir di sini, semuanya akan jadi.
You are still with us in the English service from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Actually, we still have interesting information about Indonesia, so make sure that you stay tuned because next one will be the miscellany.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on archipelagic traditional boat exhibition. On November November 23rd until December 22nd, 2019, Bahari Museum in Jakarta is conducting a temporary exhibition entitled Archipelagic Traditional Boat Exhibition. The exhibition shows various miniatures of traditional boats and also making process of the boat. The exhibition is held to invite tourists or visitors to introduce maritime wealth, especially archipelagic traditional boat. The exhibition, which is created by Bambang Budi Utomo from National Archaeology, also introduces to visitors on migration of Austronesia nation, which is assumed as Indonesian ancestor until making process of archipelagic traditional boat. The exhibition, you will be invited to know more about various traditional boats such as from Papua, East Nusa Tenggara, Bali, Riau Island, Madura, Kalimantan, and Jakarta. You can also see an icon of traditional boat, namely Pinisi, a traditional boat from Bugis, Makassar. Sochlosi, which is, has uniqueness on its making process. Another unique boat is Janggolan, made in Madura, East Java. The boat is used to thread. The boat is able to load 200 tons and it is 28 meters in length and 3 until 4 meters in wide. Besides, you can also see narration of sea people or sea tribe. The tribe is the one who live in a group in some boats which are docked in shallow water and bay. Indonesia has two sea tribes, namely Bajo and tribe on Riau Island. The exhibition is held at Bahari Museum, which is located on Jalan Pasar Ikan, Penjaringan, North Jakarta. To enter the exhibition, you must pay entrance ticket, ₹5,000 for adult and student, ₹3,000. By paying the ticket, you can also explore all of the rooms at the museum. Operational time of the exhibition follows the operational time of the museum, namely starting from 9 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. local time. At the exhibition, some collections are displayed visually, such as Dukung, Janggolan, and Pinisi. The exhibition also provides narration which can be read by visitors as complete information. That was Miss Leni.
Serta pengarang jantungku.
Besides information, actually, we have provided you some songs that I hope, or we hope, it can enlighten your mood or, well, it help you to go through the day. Actually, we have another song for you. The next one will be the music corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today I present an old song entitled Biarlah Sendiri by Eddie Silitonga. Charles Edison Silitonga, who was popular with the name Eddie Silitonga, was one of Indonesian top singers in the 1970s. He has high-pitched vocal. The song Biarlah Sendiri, which was composed by Rinto Harahap, was one of his songs belongs to Eddie Silitonga. The ballad song was released in 1976 and has brought Eddie Silitonga to the top career. The song still enjoyable to listen until nowadays. The popularity of the song Biarlah Sendiri has rearranged by other musicians and dedicated again by Indonesian young singers such as Rio Febrian, Terry, and Indah Nevertari. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Biarlah Sendiri by Eddie Silitonga. Enjoy the song.
Biarlah sedih, asalkan kau bahagialah.
Voice of Indonesia.
Been almost 1 hour for us to be in here with you, and hopefully all the information that we have provided are quite useful and also quite fun. I hope to see you again next time, so make sure that you send us your question, criticism, or maybe some requests about what kind of information that you want from us. Send it to our email voi@voinews.id and also our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well then, listener, make sure that we stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.